The internet is quite a gift for ministers. It came into popularity on the cusp of my first pastorate, and I was used a little bit to looking up sermon examples from books and trying to find good stories to add to the sermons. Well, now the internet allows you to just punch in anything, and it's right before you. And I decided to punch in strange things that people have given up for Lent. And sure enough, there's an article. Here are some of the things in that article. One person is giving up Netflix. Evidently, they are addicted to Netflix, and this might help them overcome their addiction. Another person said they were giving up church going. They've been too pious lately, and they need to cut back. Another person was giving up sex with his girlfriend, which I guess that means he's giving up adultery for Lent. Another person, and I love this one, was planning on giving up his girlfriend because he felt like he wasn't devoting his attention to God enough. And I thought, what a great way to break up with someone, to tell them, I need to do this because God's more important. And then finally, a young girl decided that she was going to give up looking at herself in the mirror during Lent. She finds herself too preoccupied with how she looks. Well, all those are quite interesting, but we all know the normal ones, right? You give up certain desserts, or you give up certain types of drink, or you give up certain luxuries in your life because you want to be disciplined outwardly. But I thought of this passage in preparation for today, and I want to read it to you, and perhaps not any congregation will hear this passage on Ash Wednesday. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So looking at that, I thought, why don't we think about giving up different types of things this year? And in reference to this passage. So we have love is patient. How about this Lent, we give up being impatient. Let's stop doing that. How about, since love is kind, let's give up being unkind. Try that. How about that love does not envy? How about we stop being envious? How about we stop boasting in ourselves or maybe our children? How about, if it is not arrogant, how about let's stop being arrogant? If love is not rude, let's stop being rude. If it does not rejoice in wrongdoing, let's give that up. Stop doing that. And stop doing it when other people get into trouble. Let's stop rejoicing in their wrongdoing. Love bears all things. Let's stop being impatient for others. Love believes all things. Let's stop being unfaithful about others. Love hopes all things. Let's stop being resentful. Let's stop having hopelessness. Love endures all things. Let's stop being so short with people. I wanted to focus on verse 5 of this, and this is from the ESV. And they say that love is not irritable or resentful. And the New King James says it's not provoked and thinks no evil. That is, of others. So I thought, This is a good thing. How about this Lent season, we all give up on being irritable and resentful in our speech? The way you talk to people, the way you don't talk to them, the way you write your emails, set your texts. How about we work on giving up, being irritable, and actually do the opposite, which is enduring, which is putting up with. How about instead of being resentful in our speech, we're glad in our speech? We do the opposite because we're giving up the former. Listen to this from Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always, I think it says always there. Yep, it does. Always be gracious. Always. Always be gracious. You give grace to others. Always. In your speech. Seasoned with salt. That is, that your language is has preservatives in it, that it should last because it's meaningful. So that you may know how you ought to answer each person. How do I answer each person? Oh, I am to be gracious. I am to have my speech seasoned with salt. What I say is to matter and last. How about this? How about we give up during Lent season being irritable and resentful in our hearts? In our hearts. Did not Jesus say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God? I want to read to you from Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 14. And I want you to pay attention to the principles that are found herein. This is when they're all worried about what's being done on the outside. You know, looking good, being godly for everyone else to see and be impressed. Jesus said, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him. Those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears, let him hear. When he had entered the house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods? And he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, and all these things come from within and defile a man. Now consider how the Lent season can seem to call you to worry about things that are outward that you should stop doing, like eating cupcakes for Lent season. Instead of worrying about what's going on in here that's coming out of the mouth, of the thoughts, of the behaviors, of the attitudes, that all starts in here. Jesus said, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. How about for Lent? We give up being irritable and resentful in our hearts. And how about for Lent? We give up on trying to revive the old man. We've been hearing about that on Sunday mornings. How about we stop letting our anger run our lives like it used to? How about we stop keeping record of everyone else's wrongs, especially the wrongs they did to me? How about we stop that for Lent? How about we stop withholding forgiveness? And that one we probably should just keep doing past Lent. How about we stop thinking that this is just the way you are? Everyone should accept your poor attitude. It's just the way it is. How about we stop that? To think in such a way, to think this is who you are and therefore everybody needs to accept it, I will say it, if no one else will, that is a lie from the devil. And it needs to be understood as such. How about this year, we give up keeping to ourselves. Give up keeping to yourself. Stop withdrawing and being alone. Consider Eve. Consider when the devil approached her. Consider how much time he had to tempt her and to fool her and to lead her to the fall of man. Because she was alone. When we are in our own worlds, the devil helps us make up our own reality. I remember when things were not going so well in the church a number of years ago, I found myself every week mowing the lawn on Saturday. And I found myself on that Saturday mowing the lawn in my little tractor. It took me about an hour or so. And I remember rehearsing all the things and arguments and disagreements I've had with people in the church. And I was rehearsing them and thinking, oh, I'm glad I said this. Or oh, maybe I should have said this. And yeah, if I would have said this, I really would have won the argument. And I laughed at myself finally after a couple of months. And I realized that I can win every argument that I have in my own head. But it never served any good to win any person. That's what happens when we isolate ourselves. We make our own reality, and then the devil twists it and corrupts it. And we think God doesn't see and God doesn't hear. How about this Lent season, we give up our self-righteousness? How about we give up thinking that we are better than anyone else in terms of value to God? How about we give up the idea that other people's sins are worse than ours? How about we give up the idea that our obedience is better than others? How about we give up the idea that others should be doing what I'm doing? How about we give that up? And finally, how about we don't give up giving up? How about we don't stop giving up these things? In fact, we need to keep putting these things down. Putting them down, I'll tell you where. You can guess. But in giving up these things, we need to put them down and keep putting them down. You need to keep putting down inappropriate sexual lust. You need to do that. You need to keep putting down backbiting and gossip. Absolutely necessary for the body of Christ. You need to keep putting down your Sabbath breaking. I hope that rings. You need to keep putting down your haughty eyes. Keep putting down all that is not of Christ. Putting it where? At the base of the cross. And surrender to God's will. For what is God's will for you? God's will for you, Paul said, is your sanctification, your holiness, you being right before God. I told the students this morning of our fond memory of our oldest son, Jared, giving up the swing set during Lent. And how happy he was on Easter Sunday to run out there and swing. And of course, we all recognize that it's good to give up bodily things. And Paul says that has a value to it, but it has a little value to it. What has more value is what we give up on the inside. What we confess to God, what we confess as sin, what we put at the cross, that is what makes us clean on the inside. Bodily discipline is useful for a time, but it is most useful when it teaches us to give up sins that so easily attach to us. And so let me read that passage again. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for this Ash Wednesday service, which we can treat as a New Year's Day, as a day that you give us great opportunity to reflect upon that which we have refused to reflect upon, that you can once again open our eyes to our weaknesses and our failures, and to be able to see you willing and able to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May it be so. May we give it up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.